Yes, right. Should I say something?
Yeah. In less than a week, we received a whole series of shilas relating to almost the same kind of principle. The person who made some kind of a mistake in Shmuel Atzeret, this has been a tough kind of the last couple of weeks, been complicated Shmuel Atzeret, is made a mistake in Shmuel Atzeret, and he realizes the mistake at a later point, it's already time for the next Shmuel Atzeret, and the question is, does he have to actually repeat the Shmuel Atzeret and think it to a kashlumen? What are the parameters of repeating Shmuel Atzeret at the right time? What are the parameters of repeating Shmuel Atzeret at subsequent times? So I thought we'll kind of cover our bases. There's multiple different shilas that have arisen in this area. So before we can discuss about the intricacies of a person missed a certain haskara, missed a certain phrase in the Shmuel Atzeret, whether that phrase is Yalav Yava, whether that phrase is Mashiva Ruach, whether he missed part of the davening for the Yom Noraim, whatever the case may be, let's just talk about the ABCs first. What are the basic halachas of a person who didn't daven altogether, a person who didn't daven Shachas, who did not miss, did not Mayrav? What Allah has governed him. So once we figure out what the din is about the regular person, then we can begin to discuss the person who davened, but he davened erroneously. He missed something, how that's going to play. So the sugya begins in the first of the Mamakamos, in Maseches Brachas Av Chavava Medalf, Yivaylu, the Avarayim raised the following question. Tavalo Yispala Mincha, Maosh Yispala Arvishtayim. If a person made a mistake and didn't daven Mincha, they forgot daven Mincha, so are they permitted to daven Mayrav, or are they obligated to daven Mayrav twice, in a sense, as tashlum, to make up for the lost mincha? The Gemara presents the shayla in the following manner. Im timsaloimer, if you want to say, tov lo ispal arvis, mispal shachris shtayim, if you want to tell me that the fellow who forgot to daven ma'ariv, he can make it up at shachris, there's tashlumin from one tefillah to the next, so that I can understand. That's comprehensible. Why? Mishim dechad yomahu, because it's the same day. The person who didn't daven ma'ariv and wants to make it up at shachris, still halachli the same day, because halachli, we of course know, halachli day begins with the night. So going from Mayrav to Shachris is not so bad. For that matter, going from Shachris to Mincha is not so bad. But Aval Hocha, the Gemara says, the second line, Tefillah b'lochem korbani, maybe we should argue that a tefillah is in a sense in the place of a korban. The cave of the Ava Yom of Upper Korbana. Once the day is over, so we have a rule in Nuchos Korbanos, that I can't bring yesterday's korban today. Let's say, for example, we forgot to bring the korban Musaf Rosh Chodesh. No big deal. We'll bring it tomorrow. You forgot to bring the korban Tavid yesterday. Can't make it up today. So when it comes to korbanos, so it's that day and that day only. So maybe one should argue that since tefillah has the aspect of korbanos to it, we should not be able to accept tashlumin out of the realm of that day. If it's with the same day that we can accept, but to extend the principle of tashlumin to the next day would be not acceptable. Although, no, maybe that's not true. Kevin did slosa rachmi, because there's another dimension of tefillah, and that is tefillah is also rachmi. So tefillah really almost has two aspects to it. On the one hand, it corresponds to kabbalah. On the other hand, it's just simply asking Kodesh Baruch Hu for mercy. Kalem is the boy, not tzivi azli. Rachmi you can always ask for. So if I missed yesterday, tefillah mishkatelah, I'll ask for a double dosage of rachmi today. So what's the din? The Gemara concludes, Toshma adyam rav huna by Yehudam rav yitzach with yechanan, tablo stal mincha stal avishtayim, the Gemara concludes that the din is there is tashlumin. One is required to make tashlumin not only from Mayav to Shacharis and not only from Shacharis to Mincha, but even from Mincha to Mayav, notwithstanding the fact that it's halachically two different days. The fact of Rachman ultimately wins out. So that's the din. Clearly, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. That's the din explicitly in Shulchan Aruch, that there is tashlumin from any tefillah to the next. The Gemara just happens to put the brakes on this, just as an aside. The Gemara says that this whole halacha of tashlumin only applies when it's b'shegeh, with the ta'ah, and the person made a mistake, he forgot something happened, but if the person was negligent, he knew he should daven, he was too busy watching the game or something, so he didn't bother davening the tefillah, and now he wants to make it up later, that's not acceptable. That's called bitul b'mezid, it would not be a tashlumin. But as long as it's within the realm of shogeh, illness, etc., so then there would be a halacha of tashlumin. So with this background, Tosus raises the following question. The second of the Mamre Kavos. So Tosus writes in the second line. Kosev Ben Yehuda. Im ta v'lo hizki rashchodesh b'mincha. This shaila I didn't get yet tonight, but tonight is still young. This shaila could still come. A person davened mincha today and didn't mention Rosh Chodesh. He forgot. Mistake. He forgot the yalvia. Forgot to say mincha Rosh Chodesh. Now what happened? So the din is, if he would remember during the course of the day, then he for sure has to daven over again. Yalaviyavu was ma'akev in the Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Chodesh. The only time Yalaviyavu does not invalidate the Shemoneh Esrei is at Ma'ariv. That's for a totally separate reason, a distinct reason, because the Gemara says that since they couldn't declare Kiddush HaChodesh until the following day anyway, the Beit Din couldn't declare at the full of Rosh Chodesh until the morning. So technically speaking, if you didn't say Yalaviyavu, it's not the end of the world. But in terms of if you missed it at Shachris and Mincha, then you would have to go back. So let's say, for example, a person davened early Mincha, davened at 2:30 in Shiva today, Mincha, and they realized they forgot Yalvi, and they remembered it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So there's no question they would have to daven over again. That's not a shaila. But Taisa is not sure, what if they don't remember until the nighttime? So now the person's really in a pickle. Why? Let's go back to the Taisa. Because Rabbi Yehuda, in Tavu, his Kirish Chadish with Mincha, lo yispal od balayla. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it makes sense to say that if a person missed Yalav Yovu at Mincha, they probably should not daven a tashlumen for Ma'ariv tonight. Why is that? Says Rabbi Yehuda, the lami is palaloid. Why in the world should he daven again? If you're going to play devil's advocate and tell me you should daven again, whenever you daven again, you always daven according to the tefillah of that time. Say, for example, the Gemara says, if you forgot to daven Mincha on a Friday, when you daven two Ma'aribs, you daven Shabbos tefillahs. You don't daven weekday tefillahs. You daven whatever the tefillah is of that particular time, even though you're making up something from the previous day. So imagine for a moment that the halacha would require the person to daven tashlumin if you missed Yalav Yovu at Mincha today. What would the tefillah tashlumin look like? It would clearly be a tashlumin without Yalav Yovu, because how would the worker say Yalav Yovu if Rosh Chodesh is over? So that would be a very bizarre tashlumin. I davened Mincha 3 hours ago without Yalav Yovu, and somebody told me that I'm not Yotzei. Okay, I'm going to rectify that by davening again without Yalav Yovu. Maya Hani learned the second tefillah. What in the world did the second tefillah accomplish? The second tefillah added nothing to the first tefillah. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Lami is paloi. Harei Kfar is paloi. Kol tefillah Mincha mibiyad yom. Levad Rosh Chodesh lo hizkir. The only thing that he's missing is the Yalav Yovu. In kein im aviyah klum. In yachzav is paloi. V'matzoi Rosh Chodesh. He will gain nothing by davening again. Harei lo yachzir ol tefillah Rosh Chodesh. He's not going to say Rosh Chodesh anyway. The other 18 dochas he already davened. So what in the world would he gain? That was Rabbi Yehuda's suggestion. But then I skipped a few lines in the Taisus. At the end of the line, the end of the Taisus concludes a meal. Rav Alpha Slomash became. However, from the riff, it wouldn't appear this way. The Afil Lecha the Enu Avi Klub Masuch was Palpa Macheres. Even though a person is going to gain nothing, he should still daven a second time either. And Taisus never explains exactly what the svar is. Taisus tries to show you from the Lashon and the Riff that's true. It's not even so posh that the Riff even said this. He said, Mil lo mashmakein is a very powerful, very, very, very weak Lashon. It would appear that the Riff disagrees, but even if we're going to accept Tosfos' assessment, the Riff disagrees, Taisus does not explain why he disagrees. What's the one? The Chorah Ben Yehuda's Svara, it's a very compelling one. So it's usually assumed that with the Machlaikas between the Rabbi Yehuda, between the Taisus and the Riff is, it's really a fundamental question as to what the nature of the recitation of Yalav Yovu in Rosh Chodesh the tefillah is all about. If a person davens Mincha today, or Shachris today, or Mincha yesterday, or Shachris yesterday, and deleted Yalav Yovu, what happened and what did not happen? So one could understand this in one of two ways. Either one could understand that the person did not fulfill Shemoneh Esrei. He didn't daven Shemoneh Esrei. Because the Taqwan of the Chavim was, the Antiknesset Gedolah instituted, the Nuschat Tefillah was instituted, that on a regular day, 29 out of the days in the month, you daven X, and on Rosh Chodesh, you daven X plus 1. And if you didn't mention Yalav Yovu, with the exception, that lone exception, Meir, because of that technical glitch we mentioned before, but Shachris and Mincha, if you didn't mention Yalav Yovu, you did not daven Shachris. You did not daven Mincha. Your tefillah come under Leisa. If that is the case, that the omission of Yalav Yovu is tantamount to not davening altogether, so of course you require tashlumin. I didn't daven Mincha. What's the difference whether I didn't daven Mincha because I was busy in an emergency and I said nothing, or I daven Mincha without Yalav Yovu? In the end of the day, I didn't daven Mincha. What would it be like if a person davened Mincha and they forgot to say the bracha b'nei Yerushalayim? So they didn't daven Mincha. Might say they missed part of Mincha. So if you missed part of Mincha, the whole Shemoneh Esrei is ma'akev. So Yalav Yovu is ma'akev. It's not a shame Shemoneh Esrei on it. And therefore, of course, you require tashlumin. The tashlumin is going to be a little bit funny because you're going to daven exactly what you davened 3 hours ago. Okay, so it'll be funny. It'll be strange. So to the person who doesn't understand the lumdus, they'll say, my honey, what did you gain? So one could argue that it doesn't matter. You have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, and that's presumably what the Rif understood. What was Rabbi Yehuda bothered with? What was Taisus bothered with? So Rabbi Taisus and Rabbi Yehuda were of the opinion that the omission of Yal V'Yavo does not disqualify the entire Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei means I daven the 18, as long as the 19 brachos, I daven the whole Shemoneh Esrei. Elohat, there's a din that Yal V'Yavo is what's called an halacha and a haskara. It's a mentioning, it's an addition to the Shemoneh Esrei. It's an additional passage to the Shemoneh Esrei that is inserted on certain days of the year, Shemoneh Esrei, etc. The omission of that phrase does not invalidate the Shemoneh Esrei. So why is it din that you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei? You have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, let's say you forgot it 2 o'clock and then you remember it 4 o'clock. Why is that clear? You have to repeat Mincha. Why is that? Not to fulfill Davening Mincha. I Davening Mincha already. I have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei in order to fulfill the Takanas Chacham of saying Yalav Yavo. Yalav Yavo cannot be said in a vacuum. I can't just get up and sing Yalav Yavo and call it a day. I have to say Yalav Yavo in the context of the Shemoneh Esrei. So I am forced to, quote-unquote, re-daven, even though I was Yotzei Tefillah already, I am forced to re-daven my Shemoneh Esrei to enable me to recite the Haskara of the Yalav Yavo. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So that makes perfect sense. If you're re-davening, will enable you to be able to recite the Yalav Yavo. But if you're re-davening, will not accomplish anything, because anyway you're not going to be able to see Yalav Yavo, because it's already after dark, it's already Motzei Chodesh. So Maya Hani learn your second tefillah. The second tefillah is done in 19th brachos. The only way to justify a second tefillah is to enable the Haskaras Yalav Yavo that you knew before. Because Huchas tefillah you were Yotzei. But that Haskara will only be accomplished on Rosh Chodesh proper. Once Rosh Chodesh is over, it's too late. So that's the Pashas HaDevarim. That seems to be the Nekudas HaMachloikis between the Rebbei Yatoisus and the Rif. What is the Chisaron of missing Yalav Yavo? The guy missed Yalav Yavo today, Mincha, can you make it up at Meir Vanah? So according to Toisus, you gain nothing by making it up, because Shemoneh Esrei you were basically Yatoisus. According to the Rif, you have a lot to make up, because you weren't yet to Shemoneh Esrei. So amazing. You didn't daven Shemoneh Esrei. Really, you're required to be Tashlumin. I am not going to say Yalav Yavo. So what? Tonight, Shemoneh Esrei doesn't require a Yalav Yavo. So this idea that Tosfos is raising, the Rif is arguing with, that when you analyze an insertion into the Shemoneh Esrei, you have to ask yourself, is pshat that you were Yotzei, you just missed the insertion, or you weren't even Yotzei altogether? One could theoretically raise the same question vis-a-vis other insertions into the Shemoneh Esrei, and the answer won't necessarily be the same. There may be differences as to what the answer to that question is. So there is a statement in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in the third of the Maamar Kamos. Let's take a look at the end. We go backwards in the Shulchan Aruch and say hey first. So the Shulchan Aruch in the third of the Maamar Kamos, the Chutzpilas and Kufi Dalin. And hey, towards the end of the Mar Makom, b'mosag yeshamim im lo om amurad hageshem machzirin oso. If during the winter season, maybe the beginning for Shmini Atzeres, still the first day of Pesach, if a person didn't mention mashivurach amurad hageshem, so then he has to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. That's the Mefarish of Gemara, that the omission of mashivurach is ma'akev in the Shmoneh Esrei. What is the nature of that din? Well, one could raise the same shaila. Is the omission of Mashiv HaRuach tantamount that you didn't daven? You mamish gain nothing, you daven the entire tefillah of Atala because you missed that insertion. That's an integral part of the tefillah, half the year. But do I say no? That the basic text of tefillah doesn't change from one half of the year to the other. Daven in the winter, daven in the summer is the same Shemoneh Esrei. The insertion of Mashiv HaRuach is a haskara. It's a phrase that has to be inserted into a Shemoneh Esrei. And if you missed it, the reason why you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei is because you have to justify the same amount. You can't say Mashiv HaRuach in the middle of nowhere. You can't say it in a vacuum. You have to say it within the bracha of Gevuros, which is the second bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. So Nebuch, the name, like I'm not the Shemoneh Esrei over again. But Uchot Tfilah Pusev is Yaitzei. So it's not clear what the answer to this question is. So again, so B'mosek Yishamim, B'mo'omim, B'ar Nageshim, B'chzirin Osel. So if you forgot to say Mashiv HaRuach in the wintertime, so for sure you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, right? And presumably if the Zman Tefillah is over, then you have to daven Tashlumin. And whether or not you hold that that was an omission in terms of the Etzes Shlomes or not seems to be unclear. It may or may not be the same answer to the story about Rosh Chodesh. It would potentially happen after Nino in the following case. Let's say a person of all days that he forgot the last day. He's been going through on the whole winter. Anything, depending on what you think, Mr. Spad and Sasha, let me switch over here. That Musa Mincha. Let's say, finally, he got Shachris. Make it make Mr. Spad easier to understand. He forgot it at Shachris. And now he realizes in the afternoon, Givalt, I forgot to say Mashi Baruch at Shachris on the very last day. He thought he was supposed to stop at Maiv. It's the very last day. So should we tell him to daven Tashlumi Mincha Da? So it depends on the same Shaila. But if you hold that he didn't daven Shmoneh Esrei, he missed a major part of the Shmoneh Esrei, then there would be Tashlumi. And now he's going to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei without the Mashi Baruch. So be it. Because according to the other understanding of the Rishonim, is that he was Yaitim at the Shmoneh Esrei. So what are you going to tell him to do? To daven another Shmoneh Esrei to enable him to say Mashi Baruch? It's too late to say Mashi Baruch already. It's already over his van already. So it would be, again, that's much less likely that he's been saying Mashi Baruch for 6 months and moves to the end. Unlikely. But in theory, that would be the same Lam D'Shishai. So a whole part of it, if the person forgot Mashi Baruch, he has to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. And if he remembers past his man of the tefillah, so the stomach is going to be tashlumin on that as well. So I had an interesting shayla that somebody just asked me, one of the many Haskar shaylas I've had recently, this past Friday night. The person asked me the following shayla. They were davening mincha on Friday afternoon, and they forgot to say Mashi Baruch. Forgot to say Mashi Baruch. Okay, it's only a week after Shmuel, that's understandable. The person forgot to say Mashi Baruch. And now the question is, when did they recover? When did they remember? So they only remembered after Shabbos had already started. They were ready for Shabbos, ready for Sagan Chazoy, whatever was ready, after Shkia. And all of a sudden they remember, Gevalt, I forgot at Mincha to mention Mashi Baruch. So you can't just daven another Shmoneh Esrei now. You can't daven Mincha ready still, even if it would be before Shkia, this is already after Shkia. And the Kabbal Shabbos, Pasha, you can't daven Shmoneh Esrei anymore. So now the person wants to know, so what do I do now? So the answer is, so you daven Tashlum now. What does my Tashlumin look like on Friday night? So my Tashlumin looks like a Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei, right? With the recitation of Mashi Baruch and Kol Yedai. So that's what I told him to do. To daven the second Shmoneh Esrei, right? Right after Ma'ariv, to be the Tashlumin for the Mincha before. The Rebbe Kivager has a suffix that maybe if you forgot Mashi Baruch in the Friday night tefillah, maybe it's not so terrible. Why? Because maybe it's no worse than Me'ein Sheva, than Magen Avos. The bracha that we say Magen Avos, which on Friday night can double almost like a quasi, it's like a mini Shmoneh Esrei. So it's a very, very unique mini kind of Shmoneh Esrei. There's no mention of Mashi Baruch. So maybe all the rest of the week, you can't be Yaitzeh without a Mashi Baruch. Maybe Friday night you can. Even that's a big question, whether we accept that side of the Kibbega. But here, we're being done on the Friday afternoon tefillah. The Friday afternoon tefillah missed the Mashi Baruch. So presumably he has to make it up on Friday night. But then the Shulchan Aruch talks about the opposite case. We go back to the beginning of the third of the Mamre Kamos.
Right.
But Kira probably holds that way. Right. So we take a look now back at the beginning of the third of the Mamre Kamos. We have the flip side, a mistake that a person can make that could also result in having to daven over and potentially leading to a tashlum in Shaila. And this gets very, very complicated. This man has that. Comes the Shulchan Aruch in the third of the Mamre Kamos and tells us, "Omar Morid Hageshem v'Yomos Hachama." If a person said Morid Hageshem in the summertime when he's not supposed to say it, so the din is Machzir Nosei. He has to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei because just as the person who didn't say what he was supposed to say ruined, either ruined the Shmoneh Esrei or something, so to the person who says incorrectly the Morid Hageshem, so somehow that disqualifies the Shmoneh Esrei, he would have to repeat it over again. The Chozel Rosh HaBracha. He would have to go back to the beginning of the bracha. If he finished already Chayam Eitim, then he has to go back to the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, even in a place that needs rain in the summertime, in his Geshem, if he said Mor HaGeshem, that's fine, but if he said Mor HaGeshem, that is a problem. So why does the Shulchan Aruch go out of his way to tell you what the weather forecast is, that even though they need the rain? So Shulchan Aruch is alluding to a major question in the Rishonim, which all started with the Rosh. The Rosh is a very, very powerful question. The Tshuvas HaRosh raises a very, very serious question about the Minhag Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Tainis that when do we begin to say the same Talabotar? When is the beginning time to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for rain? The Gemara says, really, we should start to say the same Talmudar on Sukkot itself. Because in Sukkot, that's the time when the Kodesh Baruch Hu judges us for water. That would be the most appropriate time to begin to ask for the same Talmudar. The Gemara says in Tainis, though, we don't want to do that because rain is a simon kol b'chag. So the last thing we want to do is daven the Gishmak HaTfilas HaGeshem, the same Talmudar, that rains out the whole week, knocks out a whole Sukkot, is out of commission. So we saw what it means when it rains for one day and Sukkot is hot. So you know what? Last thing we want to do is ask the Talmudar on Sukkot. So therefore, Chazal decides to push you up in the same time of a little bit further. How far do you want to push it off for? The Gemara says, we should really start it right after Sukkot. We should see the Sukkot is over, we should start it. The Gemara says, no. We want to give all the people who are a little regal a chance to get back home. Because otherwise, if the day after Sukkot we start saying the same time of it's pouring and they can't get home for us safely, the next year they may not come back again. So therefore, we hold off a little bit. And when are we finally comfortable that even the people who were schlepping home the furthest distances, by Zayin Cheshvin. From Zayin Cheshvin already, Ad Kan, by then already we can start to say it safely, and that's what Chazal Misachin, that Zayin Cheshvin is when we begin to say the same Talamot. So then the Gemara just adds an addendum to this. The Gemara says, and by the way, if you live in Bavel, so then don't say it at Zayin Cheshvin, because in Bavel, the way the climate is, they don't really need the rain yet in Bavel. The rainy season starts a little bit later, and therefore the Gemara says, you wait 60 days, you have to Tkufas Tishrei, and at that point, when this corresponds to the equinox, so approximately then 60 days later, that's when they need the rain, and therefore Chazal HaMasakin in Eretz Yisrael you saw that in Cheshvan, because that's already well into the beginning of the rainy season, and bubbles a little bit later, you hang in there for a little bit while longer. So the Rush is looking around at the world, and he says, wait a second. The Rush says, I live in Germany, and then later in his life, the Rush moves to Spain. He says, in Germany, the rainy season does not start 60 days after Tkufas Tishrei. Neither in Spain does the rainy season start after Tkufas Tishrei. So why in the world, in our shuls, are we patterning our recitation of the same Talamotar after what happened in Buffalo? I am not davening for the people in Iraq to get rain. I'm davening for the people in Germany and Spain to get rain. So comes the Russian and says, Stakapella, a big, big question. And he says, you know what? The minig is not really right. And when should we daven the same Talamotar in Spain and Germany? Ask the weatherman, ask the farmer, ask the people who know the season. They'll tell you, whenever you need the rain, that's when you should start to daven. When is it? I don't know when it is. Whenever the weather forecast tell you they need rain. And let's say they tell you that there is no clear-cut rainy season and you always need rain. So say the same Talmud for the entire year. The magic number, 60 days after Tkufas Tishrei, is not written in stones as the Rush. It was instituted by Chazal, the Gemara says explicitly. It was instituted by the Chachmei Bavel for the climate of Bavel. That's what the Rush says. Well, we don't live in Babylon. Jews don't live in Iraq anymore. So why do we keep when the rainy season is in Iraq? That's what the Rush writes in the Jew. Then it starts to get very tricky. And he says he tried to change the minhag. He tried very hard to change the minhag, and nobody listened to him. And everybody said, no. The kach tiknu, kach nogu, with the must be the takaran sochamim, the minhag Yisrael, and we don't change it, and we follow the minhag in Babylon. Whatever the minhag in Babylon was, kach hazeh. And ad hayom hazeh, even though we don't really understand this, ad hayom hazeh, this is the minhag Yisrael, that Zayin Cheshvan is an Eretz Yisrael, that's what it says in the Gemara, and everybody else, Bavel included, the extended Bavel, like I always have in mind when I say Yikur Punkon, so you'll be davening for the runner of Rabban Chavad, the average Yisrael will be Bavel. Who are you davening for? All the great Tamich, all the yeshivas in Baghdad, who are you davening for exactly? The Einim one God, the Haigon doesn't live in Bavel anymore, so who are you davening for? So Bavel has taken on a meaning, Tal Bavel, Mizbelos, Mizchusla, in the modern Rabbanim, the Eretz Yisrael will be Bavel. It means the Tamil Chavim in Eretz Yisrael. We daven for Tamil Chavim in Chutzlars. It's America, England, South Africa, wherever there's Tamil Chavim anywhere in the world. So they're included in our Tefillahs, even though they're not in Eretz Yisrael proper. So that has become the Minhag Yisrael, that the whole world, short of Chutz in Eretz Yisrael, follows the Minhag of the Bavel, and Adayim is there, we count 60 days after Tkufas Tishrei. That's why. Since it's 60 days after Tkufas Tishrei, and Tkufas Tishrei is a solar phenomenon, not a lunar phenomenon, it's related to the sun, that's why it follows the secular of the solar calendar. That's why we have the only time in Halacha we find this bizarre thing, that something depends on the English calendar. Since when do we, couldn't care less, when the English date is, there's no single Halachic date on the solar calendar that means anything to us, with the exception of December 4th, December 5th, depending on the leap years, depending on exactly how many days it corresponds after Tishrei. So the only significant day in Halacha, the secular calendar, is December 4th. So I told that to my daughter when she was born. My youngest daughter was born on December 4th. So I told her that you picked the jackpot. The only day that means anything in Halacha is December 4th. They were kidding us. We should name her Talia or Matara or something like that. Either of the two. She was a saint. She was born under the saint Talamotar day. If you ask her Metalbus, how do you know that? Ask him when my youngest daughter's birthday is. We'll tell you right away. Because he used to drive carpool with us. So that day, I didn't go. He had to drive the carpool instead of me. So he'll never forget. She was born on the day of saint Talamotar. So that day you always remember. I remember that I realized later that my grandmother, who she was named after, was her birthday was also December 4th. So it was a quirk. I didn't even realize at the time because for years we had thought her birthday was a different day, my grandmother, because in those days people didn't really know exactly what their birthdays were. So one time I actually tried to find out what it really was, and because she had told us that she knew that she was going the third day of Hanukkah. That she remembers. My father always told me on the third day of Hanukkah. So I looked up. What day was the third day of Hanukkah in the year in 1896, whatever the year she was born in, and it wasn't December 19th, like we'd always thought. It was December 4th. So I got so excited. I said, wow. I said that my daughter's born, she's named after my grandmother, and she was born the only day that really means anything. But then I wasn't so excited because before the year 1900, so St. Talamata wasn't said on December 4th, it was said on December 3rd. It was the changes as the centuries go on, so it was a nice little term, but we might see this smell of the slat on the face. Although it is interesting, the only place in the Beis Yosef where the Beis Yosef quotes the English calendar. The Beis Yosef, in the Siman about St. Talamotar, talks about what date to begin saying the St. Talamotar, so he quotes you the English name. He talks about the month of November. Why is he talking about the month of November? He said in December. So the answer is because the Beis Yosef lived before the calendar was fixed, before they were still on the Julian calendar. So before the Pope knocked off 11 days, in the Middle Ages, so at one point, so 1506, whatever it was, so the Pope knocked off 11 days off the calendar because the Cheshbon wasn't corresponding right. So the Beis Yosef was written before that. So in the old days, they used to say the St. Talamotar on November 21st, whatever it was. So the Beis Yosef writes, you start saying the St. Talamotar on November, Nun Vav Yud Mem Beis Reish, November 21st, which is whatever the date was in his proof. Anyway, getting back to the story. So even though we don't really understand this, why we don't follow the Rosh, we might say that's become the Minhag Yisrael. So even though this is the Minhag Yisrael to follow the Rosh, and we follow the practice of saying the Saint Talamotar based on the Bnei Bavel, in the back of our minds, we kind of think the Rosh may be right. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch tells us when it comes to saying the Saint Talamotar, that if a person by mistake said the Saint Talamotar at the wrong time, namely you live in Chutzlars and you said it at the time you're not really supposed to say it, it's not so terrible. Because as long as it's still the rainy season, as long as it's not a sheker because of which in America it's never lying, it's always the rainy season, it's 12 months a year, there is no time and it's not kedai for rain to come. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that the Bidiyevit, if you said the Saint Talamotar at the wrong time, as long as it's a Mokav Shetzichim Gishamim, that would be technically okay. There is a machlekes aposkim, as mokav shetzichim gishamim means it's mamash a drought, or it means that we could use rain. You could always use rain. You could always use a little bit more rain. That's a shaila. So somebody just asked me the shaila just now. They told me that they were davening in a minyan on this past Friday, and the chazan in Chazor Hashash in Mincha said the same Talmudar. It's a flagging. People are getting mixed up between Yamtif and Mashavaruach and Rishchari. I don't know where they're going. So the Chazan said the same Talmudar, and nobody corrected him. And then at the end, after Shmones was over, somebody scratched him. Wait a second, what do you say? He said the same Talmudar. Oh, yeah, wait, what happened? Should we repeat the Shmones right? So by the time the conversation ended, it was ready after Shkia. So it was already Shabbos had already started, so he can't use Davin Mincha anymore at that point. So we're trying to figure out, now what do you do? So do we have to... But the Chazan, Davin, Tashlim, what are we supposed to do about this phenomenon? So they're calling about it now. They're calling about it for a night. They're calling about it now. So good thing they're calling about it for a night. So they're calling about it now. And they asked me, what would I have done? So I said that I would have told them not to repeat the Shmones, right? Because could I have rushed this Mechalov? Because in America, Me'ikim, Me'ikradin, you could probably rely on the Russians, especially since you're ready after Shkia. There's no doubt it's ready too late, so it's over. And you have to rely on the Rosh Hashitah. So here the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying that even though we're willing to rely on the Rosh for the same Talamotar, we're not willing to rely on it for Mashiv Aruch, which is a big question. Why don't those two things go hand in hand? So some poskim question the Shulchan Aruch. Some poskim say that if a person said Mashiv Aruch at the wrong time, he also doesn't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei because at the end of the day, he has the rush to fall back on. So for this, the Mishnah Berurah is not so comfortable. The other Mishnah Berurah actually splits the Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you forgot to say, if you said Mashiach Ruach at the wrong time, even though it's not technically the wrong season of the year, he says he thinks you should repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, but Allah Tanai, you should make a condition. If I'm chayav to repeat it, it should be a good Shemoneh Esrei. And if not, it should be a kol tefilas nedavim. It should be a voluntary Shemoneh Esrei. So the Mishnah Berurah is walking in eggshells to try to, on the one hand, he wants you to daven over again because you probably want your say, but the rush is still haunting him. So he says, just in case the rush is right, even for Mashiach Ruach, so daven with a tefilas nedavim with the suffering. It would be interesting because if this would happen in Shabbos and Yontif, you can't daven tefilas nedavim for technical reasons in Shabbos and Yontif. This would be a big problem. That would pose another complicated story. But the bottom line is that if a person goofed with the same Talmud Matur and said it for a long time, in Eretz Yisrael, that's a disaster. You have to be sure. And that's why in Chutz Laretz, it's less of a problem. So she mentioned that the question is how far it goes. So that's a shot. The Rush himself seems to equate the two. He seems to equate the two, and the Shaila is how far that. Right. Right. That's right. That's the Shaila. Maskeen and Shaila, essentially. That's because it's part of this discussion. In the back of our minds, because we really think the Rush is probably, the Ikra is incorrect, even though we don't really understand why we do what we do, this is probably part of why many people, when they travel to Eretz Yisrael in the next couple of weeks, myself included, which by the way, won't be a shit, I still be in Eretz Yisrael next week, but if you travel to Eretz Yisrael in between the time of Zayin Cheshvan and December 4th or 5th, so then you're going to pickle. Because some folks can say that you always follow where you are, and some folks can say, if you plan on going back in a few days, you follow where you came from. So now your mom should pickle. What do you do? So some folks can come up with a great compromise. The compromise is, say the same Talamata in Shemet Tfilah. Because the Ikra didn't be ever that good anyway. And if you said the Shemet Tfilah, it doesn't ruin the Shemet Esrei either. So you have your best, and the best of both worlds. It's harder to remember. So my luck, that I'm supposed to arrive on Wednesday in Eretz Yisrael, which is exactly when they start saying it on Tuesday night. I forgot it. Wednesday night, I forgot it. Zayin Cheshvan. Where is Zayin Cheshvan? Aleph was today. So hey is when? Hey is Sunday? So they start saying on Tuesday. Okay, so I'll arrive Tuesday night to start saying, right? So Aleph today was Aleph, so it means Tuesday is Zion, right? So I'm sorry, so Tuesday, right. Okay, so I'm going to come a day into them saying the same Talmud Matar. So I have to try to remember to say the same Talmud Matar in Shemayat Tfilah. Try to walk that tightrope. So those who say to say it in the regular place, they're relying on the Rush also, because the Rush would say even in America, it's in the regular place. Again, different opinion about this. There's one last issue that came up about the Shlumin, which is a fascinating Shaila I saw about in the Shul recently, I think, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, about a Shaila that also came up relating to some of these ideas of sometimes something is in the Tekel Parsha on Esrei and something is not. But it was not a Shaila that I had never received before. I got the Shaila on the night of Yom Kippur. I'm just called Nidrei Night. If the Avim was over, someone came with the following Shaila. I'd never had this one before. A fellow did not daven mincha near Yom Kippur. Something happened, an emergency happened. Couldn't have whatever was, illness, whatever happened, he had to take care of. And he asked him for the details, but nice, he could not daven mincha near Yom Kippur. And now he wanted to know, he's going to daven tashlumin on Yom Kippur. He said, 100%. So what is that tefillah tashlumin going to look like? It's going to be Yom Kippur, B'nai Shemoneh Esrei. The same way the Gemara says, if you missed Friday afternoon, so you daven two Shabbat Gemaras, you daven two Yom Kippur tefillah. So this was his long b'shashayla. Does he say vidui for both Shemoneh Esreis? Does he have to repeat the vidui for the regular for Myra, and then the second field is the tashlumin? Does he have to say vidui on the tashlumin mincha since he's davening it on the night of Yom Kippur? So my initial reaction was, this mamish lom b'shashayla. I said, what is the nature of this din? You recite vidui on Shemoneh Esrei of Yom Kippur. The Gemara Sefer Shemoneh Esrei, assume that Chazal instituted to say vidui of the Shemoneh Esrei. Is that an integral part of Shemoneh Esrei? Doesn't mean that you mamish, it's like as if you didn't daven. Is that the pshat? So you mamish missed an integral part of the Shemoneh Esrei, right? Well, the saying of the vidui is not an integral part of the Shemoneh Esrei. So here, we're going to tell you to do tashlumin. So if you tell me that a Yom Kippur Dik Shemoneh Esrei without a vidui is Mishkan Shemoneh Esrei, it's not a Shemoneh, it doesn't register as a Shemoneh Esrei, then you have to say vidui twice. But if you tell me that it's a Shemoneh Esrei, it's just, I didn't add to them afterwards. It's an external part of the Etzem Shemoneh Esrei, right? So then, hurry. I did one Shemoneh Esrei. I already said one Vida, whatever it is, seven Vida. Right, that's the Gemara Brachas. That's right. Right. No, but the Gemara is the other way also. The Gemara says if a guy missed mincha on Shabbos, when he repeats, or when he does tashlumin, he says two chol shmoneh esrei. He doesn't say Shabbos shmoneh esrei. Because you always, tashlumin always follows where you are. But unless you say that Vidi is not part of shmoneh esrei, Vidi is like a separate tefillah that was tagged on to the shmoneh esrei. No, no, no. So there it's part of the shmoneh esrei.
If you find that the person did
daven
mincha and left out the
vidui,
then you'd have the same issue.
Yeah, it would be almost the same shalom, right? Right, right. It would be the same kind of shalom, right? Right, right. So what's the din? So I thought I had a diuk from the Lashon Gemara, the fourth in Rambam Kalam, with the Gemara Yuma Dafei Zayin Mevayz. So Tana Rabbanan, mitzvahs vidui Erev Yom Kippur Mechashecha. The truth is, you should really say vidui Erev Yom Kippur Otot when Yom Kippur begins. Why do you say, why in the world do you say Vidoy and Erev Yom Kippur? Minchas out of Yom Kippur yet? Shema Titra of Daita B'Suda. We're afraid that Nebuch, the guy made it so close, he made it to the marathon, he made it to the last minute, and then Nebuch, something's going to happen. He'll choke, or he'll get drunk, or fall asleep, something will happen, or forget. He'll never get around to saying Vidoy. So Chazal wanted to chop a Rhine of Vidoy right before the Suda. V'yava B'Suda is Vadakam Shach V'Shasa, Mitzvah Liach Shach V'Shasa. And then you keep on saying vidui again. The alpha pishas by the arvis is by the shachris. Even though you said vidui at Ma'ariv, you say it again. Shachris. Shachris is by the milsav. You say it again. The milsav is by the mincha. The mincha is by the benila. The brayso says explicitly every single shmoneh esrei. Bottom line, from Erev Yom Kippur on from the ila gets a vidui. But now the gemara says the heichan omro. Where do you say the vidui? Yochid achar tefilaso. Gemara says, you say it if the Shemoneh Esrei is over, which is exactly what we do. We finish the Shemoneh Esrei, and then we say it. We actually two different minhagim. There are many who say Yula Ratzon before they start the Vidoy, and some don't. What's the machloikis? The machloikis sounds like, is it really totally achat v'ilos or not? Most of us have the minhag. The Oskos Nurim is printed like the minhag that first you say Yula Ratzon, which basically delegates the Vidoy to when they have to look. It's an addendum to the Shemoneh Esrei. It's achat filosof. Shulach Tzibra on the Emtish. The Chazan says in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. The Yochid says it after the davening is over, basically. So if that's the case, if it's not really part of the Shemoneh Esrei, so then, or what do you have to say a second vidui? I said vidui already at night. The takana was, you have to say vidui 5 times. So I said vidui 6 times. I said vidui each and every time. Well, I have to repeat a vidui again. I have to repeat a vidui. I already said my Ma'ariv because vidui. Why in the world do I have to make up a vidui that was missing, because I'm yet to shmonesa even without the vidui. So when I was talking to my son-in-law about this shaila, so he told me there was a psach from Shmuel Kamenetsky, which was seems to be the same to support what we're saying. He had the following shaila. So what would the din be if a person davened shmonesa on Yom Kippur, and they said the whole vidui, and then the gevalt after davening they realized they forgot to say Melech HaKadosh. The 10 days he still has to remember Melech HaKadosh. You've got to say Melech HaKadosh. So the din is befeirish, he has to repeat the whole Shemoneh Esrei. Does he have to say vidui a second time around? So Shmuel said no. He doesn't think he has to. Near Lomam, he doesn't have to say a second vidui. Why? He said vidui already. He didn't say vidui after. It's okay. It's not part of the tefillah itself. It's an added bonus to the tefillah. So it was a good right. The same if Shmuel was willing to say that vis-a-vis the guy who has to repeat without the vidui, so 12 years. Yeah, right. That was even better in our case. Why? Because he didn't daven mincha Erev Yom Kippur. Mincha Erev Yom Kippur really doesn't require vidui. The Ikra Din, there's no reason to say vidui in Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, why do you say vidui in Erev Yom Kippur? It's not Erev Yom Kippur yet. A week before Yom Kippur, you don't say vidui. The reason you say vidui in Erev Yom Kippur is because of that special concern of Chazal, lest you go to the Siddur Masechet without having been mizvad or chalila, something like choking the Siddur Masechet, you'll never get around to saying vidui. So the mincha, the vidui of Erev Yom Kippur is not really critical. The vidui of Erev Yom Kippur is a special takana to avoid chalil of the person not having a chance with his father at the right time for Yom Kippur. So here, he already ate the Siddur Masechet. It's already after Kol Nidre. So he's going to go do tashlumin for a vidui of Rav Yom Kippur that didn't belong in the first place. The whole goal of that vidui was only because Shem Titar for Shalav Daita. I thought this was even better than Rishmol's case. This is even more of a reason not to repeat the vidui. So the fellow told me that by the time he asked the Shiloh, was ready way after the happening, he decided he'll say the extra day. So you don't lose anything. You can say Vida from middle. Come on, you can't. There's no Vida in the Tala. But I don't think that Mikra did with Chayat to say Vida based on a lot of things. So again, whenever you pass the Shiloh, you have to constantly ask yourself these questions. Are we talking about something which is an integral part of the Shulman Esrei? Are we talking to an addition to the Shulman Esrei? How does that impact repeating? How does that impact the Shulman, etc.? Right, no, but he's saying, but even though you weren't answering Shulman Esrei, but you didn't daven. So if you're going to tell me that Vidoy is an attempt, but you weren't, we didn't daven Meir yet.
But you didn't daven
for. No, I understand, but you don't gain anything to it. It's the same verse. They're not gaining anything by you. Well,
why do we say Vidoy in Reserve Shas? Because at the right time,
you're supposed to say that, but here I blew it already. I missed it. I missed it. I missed it. There's no Tashlubit for Vidoy.
Or you're supposed to say 10 over and Kippur,
like, you know, it ends, those are like numbers, those are nice numbers, you know, add up nice to Rabazim, but in terms of halacha, the law is Chazal Masakeh that each Tzvi Shmoneh Esrei didn't give me the prize of Vidoy here. I did my Vidoy. Right, because we're saying with the Chazim, that's really the Chazim's Vidoy, and we're just taking along on the heels of the Chazim. Okay, so that's next week there will be an extra show. Hopefully, that's the following week.
I think very intriguing lesson for sure. And this many Mr. Shulman. Yeah.